Welcome to Abundant Retirement with Tony Roberts from A. Roberts Associates. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Abundant Retirement is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Abundant Retirement.
And welcome to Abundant Retirement Podcast with me, Tony Roberts. I'm your host today. And as always, we are joined by Mr. Tony Shore. And today we're going to be talking about, Tony, some of the biggest threats to your retirement wealth as you go forward in retirement. And, you know, whether you're 3, 4, 5 years away from retirement or whether you're actually in retirement, there are just some... There's some things out there that can affect your wealth, affect your income, and different things like that. And, you know, I think we're getting a little bit deeper into some of this. It's tax season, as we well know. It's the tax man is, 2 weeks away, 15, 16 days away or something like that. So anyway, these are all good things that hopefully our listeners will enjoy listening to and get some maybe get some gold nuggets from, as the way of putting this. How about that, my friend?
Well, the tax man cometh. You're right about that, Tony. And we got Tony Roberts, and I'm the co-host, Tony Shore. Tony's our host. You can never have too many Tonys.
No,
we always say
know.
That on the show. You can't have too many Tonys. You were talking to me about working with some of your clients and some misunderstanding about how taxes can work. And when you're planning for retirement or planning out investments, you have to take into consideration taxes. They're probably going to be one of your biggest expenses in retirement are taxes and healthcare, yeah. Those two. So right. I talked you into starting with taxes, and maybe this will take up the whole show or not, because you were on a tear and I said, save it for the show, Tony, because this is good stuff. This is stuff that, you know, and this is something I'll be honest, up until... I mean, I've been doing financial radio for 11 and a half years, and I want to say it was 2 years ago that I finally figured out what we're going to talk about first on the show today. I was confused. And what surprised me, though, you said some CPAs out there are confused and giving some misleading advice. So let's begin with that. Let's start with tell us about what you've come across with some of your clients and the misunderstanding about, you know, if you're converting money for retirement or moving money around, you might be adding income and paying more taxes now to avoid taxation later, correct?
Yeah, that, Tony, that's exactly the correct statement. And again, let me clarify this. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a tax attorney. But I've been in this business 40 years. I know there are certain tax strategies out there that are part of the tax code.
Sure.
That can benefit my clients and probably benefit some of the listeners out here. The position that I take, Tony, and we are allowed to do that because we're an independent firm, is that it's my duty, or at least I feel this way, it's my duty to have a conversation with my clients about possible ways that they can save taxes, you know, within the tax code.
Sure.
And if we see something there that resonates, that makes sense, then guess what we do? We get their CPA or tax attorney on the line and say, hey, look, this is what we're thinking about doing for Mr. and Ms. Jones. This is the reasons. What are your thoughts about it? So I get, you know, we get sign off by the specialist and their professionals. Sure. Before we move forward with any of these things. But
yeah, I mean, you're not a tax preparer and you're not a CPA, but you do overall future planning. You know, most CPAs and tax preparers, they are looking back at last year and maybe they're helping you look forward to next year, but that's usually about it. What you're doing is investment and income, retirement income planning for the future, for retirement. And you're looking ahead, okay, how can this benefit you? Let's do the math. If you do this now or pay taxes now, will it help you in the future? Will you end up saving more money? Or is it better to avoid the taxes now, minimize your tax burden today, and pay it later, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And again, it becomes a math equation at that point.
Right. Right.
Because again, we're currently under the 2017 tax provisions that were put into place in Trump's first term.
Yep.
They were due to last only 8 years, which means that they were due to expire at the end of this year. Now, Trump's back in office. He says he's going to make these tax rates either permanent or they're going to extend them out another 8 years or whatever the case may be.
Sure.
Tony, you and I are old enough and have been around the barn enough times to understand there's nothing permanent that goes on in Washington, D.C.
Right.
However, I do feel like we probably are going to have at least four more years.
Oh, sure.
Of low income tax rates.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the conventional wisdom right now.
That's the conventional wisdom. So then it backs itself up. And again, if you're still working out there and you're listening to us today, again, I would implore you to go and look at your 401ks or your TSPs. And many of them have a Roth component now, which means you can go ahead and pay the tax now at these low tax rates on your retirement plan and let it grow tax-free for you down the road into the future. And, you know, pulling back from my farming heritage that I grew up with, it's the same thing as looking and saying, would you rather pay tax on the seed or would you rather pay tax on the harvest that the seed produces? That's the basic difference between what we call traditional retirement plans and Roth retirement planning. So again, do I want to pay the tax when I know the tax codes are low, or do I want to possibly wait in the future when they might go up and I'll have to pay it at that time? Because the government will make you pay the tax eventually through what they call required minimum distributions and things like that. So
yeah,
again, are taxes important? Sure they are. It's probably probably the biggest hand in our pocket in retirement. So again, as an advisor, as a fiduciary, you know, under my managed money firm, I just think it would be a travesty if I didn't at least have a conversation with my clients about possible ways to save them money on tax.
Sure. Well, let's give the example though. I think we need to get this information out there because a lot of people might be confused or not realize this. But why don't you go through the example scenario? Couple comes to you or somebody comes to you and they're in the $12,000 or their 12% tax bracket, I should say, the 12% tax bracket. But this year, that bracket changes to 22% at what, 90? If you have 96,000,
94. So
94.
Here's what happened. Okay. And since you brought it up, man, I'll go ahead and rant.
Yeah, you got it. Cause people need to hear this.
Yeah. So one of my client couples called me last week and said, Tony, we just got back from our CPA. It says that we owe some tax. We thought we were taking out enough money on some of our conversions that we were doing in tax planning. Why are we owing more tax? And the couple basically said, our CPA said that we are now in the 22% bracket. So I'm searching and looking at all their documents and everything else like that. And I'm like, this just doesn't sound right. So I said, can you bring your stuff and come in and meet with me? So like, they were here this morning. And we met and they brought their stuff in and we actually called their CPA and was getting some feedback from him. And, long story short, and folks, you may not understand this, but this is the way the tax code operates. We operate under what is known as a progressive tax code. And what that simply means is this, for a couple filing jointly in 2024, they get a combined standard deduction of $29,200. So, Tony, what that means is that if you don't itemize and have deductions that are in excess of $29,200, then guess what? The first $29,200 of your income is at zero tax, zero federal tax.
No matter how much your total income is for the year,
the first 29
for everyone
is zero tax.
Yeah. Okay. And people don't understand that. They think once I hit a higher tax bracket,
it's across the board for everything.
Across the board, I'm going to pay that new rate for that, all my income.
That is not correct. And what happened was, is that the CPA basically sat there and said, you went from a 12% to a 22% bracket. Well, in their mind, anything that is income is now being increased by 10% for tax purposes. So they came in and we sat down and I said, look, I said, here's how this works. So basically, long story short, the top cap limit for the 12% bracket is $94,300 for a couple filing jointly. Their adjusted gross came in at $96,008. They were $1,700 over that 12% cap amount. Okay. Now, are they effectively in a 22% bracket? Yes, with some of their income, they are.
With only
$1,700 is in the 22% bracket. Yeah, so
not the whole 96. Not
the whole enchilada, man. So if you just take that $1,700 times 22%, I think it came out to be like $377.
Sure.
And then you basically added that back into what they owed from their standard deduction being zero and what they had coming up at 10%, what they had coming up at 12%. Long story short, their effective rate of tax went from 11.59% if they were at 94.3, it went to 11.61% because they were at 96.008.
So just a ticked up just a little bit.
Yeah, it was nothing.
Yeah.
But when they hear from that CPA, yeah, you're in the 22% bracket now.
Yeah.
And he stated it again when he was on the conference call with us. And I'm just like, yeah, but we operate under a progressive tax system. So I said, not all of that money they earned is in a 22% bracket. And of course, you know, his response. And again, this is not the wrong response. I would do the very same thing. He said, we just get the numbers and we just hit a button and our software calculates what the tax is. And that's what it is. So again, but to sit there and just blanket out and say, you went up from 12% to 22%.
Without explaining how that they're
without giving people an idea of how this stuff works, it's sort of a misnomer. And again, did he make an inaccurate statement? No, they did go into the 22% bracket, but
sure.
Anyway.
Yeah. So you got to understand the tax law and, you know, the average person, the tax code's what, 77,000 pages long or something. I mean, it's tough, but you have to understand the basics or work with a really good CPA and a financial advisor. That's why these people were so fortunate and they were smart because they came to you and said, hey, what's up with this?
Yeah.
You know, did we make moves that hurt us, you know, when we changed some things around in our financial planning? And you were able to point out, this worked out. You just had $300 more in taxes than you would have because you're in a higher bracket. So the good news about being in a higher tax bracket is that means you're making more money. that's the plus side. So you know, let's not lose sight of the half full glass of water sitting before you. So I think that's important. But moving on to the bigger picture is taxes are a threat to retirement or can be if you don't properly plan for them. Because Tony, don't most people that retire with traditional IRAs or 401ks or 403bs or TSPs where it's tax deferred going in? They haven't paid tax on that money, but when they take it out for income and retirement, it's fully taxable. All of it, the growth, the print, everything's taxable.
Yeah, it is. And again, it goes back to the, you know, would you rather pay tax on the seed or the harvest from the seed? And
sure.
And again, back in the late 70s, early 80s, when the government put in these employer retirement plans, and again, they called defined contribution plans, which sort of began the ball to rolling of taking over for defined benefit plans, which again are your IE pensions. Mm-hmm. They basically said, hey, look, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to allow you to take money off of the top, off of your gross, put it into the retirement plan pre-tax So you don't have to pay the tax on the money going into the retirement plan, and it gets to sit there and grow tax deferred. That was it. That was your, that was the onset and the beginning of traditional 401k, 403bs, TSPs, da-di-da-di-da. So that's all we pretty much had, Tony, for a while. And then they came up and said, well, what about if we add this Roth provision? And the Roth component basically said, we're going to flip this thing around. Instead of you getting to defer your tax until down the road and not have to pay the tax on the front end, we're going to give you the option to go ahead and pay the tax now. If you feel like the tax rates are low, we'll give you the chance to go ahead and pay the tax now, but now the earnings get to grow tax-free. So when you sit there and start looking at that, and again, I have some people that come up to me, Tony, say, you know, Tony, I'm 59 years old and I'm going to retire next year. You know, is it really worth getting into Roth? And my answer is always this. If you can get $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, in fact, you can get up to over $30,000 with catch up that you can put into your, you know, into a 401k or a TSP. If you're able to put in that amount of money and now it's growing tax-free for you, not only will it grow tax-free for you while you're in the plan, it'll also grow tax-free once you roll it out into your own Roth IRA. Again, it gives you another component of having tax-free money that you can rely on possibly, Tony, down the road if tax rates start to increase and go back up, which I feel like they will eventually. I don't feel like we'll have low tax rates like we do now forever.
No.
So
I don't think they can keep kicking that can down the road. I think the current ones, like you, conventional wisdom is they'll be extended for another 4 years or so, but eventually they've got to raise taxes because of the cost of everything.
We're $36 trillion in debt. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and Social Security has to be funded and things like this. So, I think they're going to have to at some point. But regardless, it's good. You've always said it's good to have, you know, you've got a taxable bucket of money and for retirement, and you've got your non-taxable sources of tax-free money in retirement, like the Roth IRA or the Roth 401k or cash value life insurance. There are other tax-free options for money in retirement. And it's good to have probably a bit of both for most people. So, but, you know, not everyone can contribute to a Roth, and there are limitations. So you've got to look at that and say, hey, am I able to do this? How much can I do? When am I going to need that money and where, right?
Well, yeah, that's true too, Tony. But you just hit on something right there. Now, let me expand on that a little bit because I get this a lot. People that are making a significant amount of income will come and see me and we'll sit and be talking and we'll start talking about Roth, and they'll look at me and say, well, I'm not eligible for Roth. I make too much money. And I said, well, you're not eligible because you're not eligible for a Roth IRA outside of your employer plan because, yes, you do make too much money. But inside of your employer plan, you can make as much money as you want to, Tony. You make $1 million a month if you want to. Inside your employer plan, you're allowed to contribute up to the max 401k or 403b, contribution limits, and all of it can go to Roth, regardless of the amount of money that you make. So again, this is another misconception that sort of gets construed and lost in the, you know, the conversation of people saying, well, I make too much money, that only exists for doing, you know, Roth IRAs outside of your employer plan and different things like that. So again, it's just, once you know the rules and have got somebody to help you sort of set things up properly and take advantage, you know, tax planning can be sort of fun. I mean, because it's an unnecessary evil that's going to hit us all regardless. So again, when you can sit there and say, you know what, would I rather pay taxes at 15% today or possibly 30% down the road? Well, most people say they'd rather pay it at 15%.
Right.
The other thing I run into quite a bit when we're doing, you know, estate planning and things like that, Tony, is, you know, there's basically three places that our money can go. They can go to our heirs, it can go to IRS, or it can go to charity. And I'll just ask a question sometimes. I said, if you had a druther, would you rather give $10,000 to charity or $10,000 to the IRS? Well, everybody says charity. Everybody says charity. But again, a lot of people don't look at themselves as being, you know, having that charitable piece that they're wanting to look as part of their overall planning work and things like it. And I'm not saying it's there for everybody.
Although some families, you might give them the choice. Do you want your money to go to your children, a charity, or the IRS? And if they without hesitation say the IRS, then you know. trouble in that family.
Tony, I had one couple come in one time, and they'd done very, very well. And we were talking about their retirement planning. And they said, Tony, we've got three kids. Mm-hmm. We put them all through private grade school, high school, college. They're all out of college. They're making a great, great living, all of them. They're doing very, very well. So they said this retirement stuff is ours. It is ours. We don't care if they get a penny of it. And he looked at me and he says, and in fact, Tony, he said, if the last check bounces, that's okay with me. That's fine with me. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I asked him, I said, can I ask you one last question? He says, sure. I said, if you get hit by that proverbial bus pulling out of my office tonight, what do you want me to do with all this money? And he said, well, I guess you can give it to the kids then. So I said, okay, we'll figure this thing out.
There you go. Now, if that ever comes up again, say, I've got a name that you can use as a beneficiary designation, Anthony Shore, that's S-H-O-R-E, just like by the sea. If anybody wants to disinherit their own children, I am available. I'm just offering that service because I'm a giver.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope there, Mr. Shore.
I know it is. Oh, I'm kidding. But yeah, I mean, it is, you know, and the majority of us, obviously, you don't want to leave your loved ones in a bad situation. So you want to make sure you have a plan in place for that. There are a lot of threats out there to retirement. And, you know, we're really focusing on taxes today. We'll tackle a couple more in the shows coming up. But taxes are such a big one. And I think so many people aren't thinking about that because we're so caught up in the accumulation phase where we're taking our income and using it to create a savings for retirement. And it's building and we're getting that tax break. And let's push as much money as we can into those retirement accounts, which is a great idea. But it's like, then we get these tax benefits. It lowers our taxable income for the year. We're in a lower tax bracket, all of these things. But then when they get to retirement, all of it, the principal and the growth, is all taxable. And if that's all they have for retirement income, they could be looking at a serious tax burden in retirement, right?
Oh, Tony, most definitely. I mean, we're very fortunate in that we've got retirement tax software that allows us to go in and calculate what the lifetime tax is, you know, could possibly be.
Sure.
On your retirement portfolio. And again, in my tax workshops and my you know, federal employee workshops, the different types of workshops that we do throughout the year, you know, I'll just ask people, I said, is anybody in here? I said, most everybody in here can, and just, you know, think about what's in your 401k or TSP. I said, most everyone in here probably has a good idea of how much money you got in those accounts. So I said, now deduct the amount of lifetime tax out of that. And what do you have left?
Yeah, because that, if you have a traditional IRA or 401k and you're all excited because I have $500,000 in my 401k or IRA, or I have $100,000 in my 401k. No, you don't.
No.
Like somebody, if you think you have $1,000 in a traditional IRA, you probably only have 70 or 80 because you're probably 20 or 30 of that's going to go to the government. Just
boom. Well, and I'll tell you something that's more scary, Tony. Let's say you got $500,000 in your 401k or your IRA or your TSP, whatever the case may be, and it's all qualified money. If you sit there and look at this thing over your generation, mm-hmm. and then 10 years of your kid's lifetime, mm-hmm. okay? So we're looking at a generation plus 10 years of a second generation. If you look at that at a very conservative growth rate, let's just say 4%, and you look at the three components of tax that that's going to generate, okay? Number one, at age, let's just say 75, you're going to have to start taking required minimum distributions to pay the tax.
Yep.
Because the government says, hey, look, we've got last number I heard is like $42 trillion out there in retirement plans that are due to have tax paid on them. Basically, most of it with the baby boomers.
That's crazy.
So if you sit there and a lot of people say, well, I don't need this money. Well, the government says, well, if you don't need the money, we're going to make you take it, because if you don't ever take distribution of the money, guess what? We never get paid tax. So they basically put in rules a few years back called required minimum distribution. Right now, for those people born in 1960 and above, that number is age 75. So if you take your required minimum distributions and pay the tax, and then if you don't spend all of those distributions, Tony, and you reinvest it, when you reinvest it, you don't have to pay tax on the principal again. But if it has earnings, now you got to pay tax on the earnings. And in all likelihood, most of the people we work with, their money's going to outlive them. So they're going to then leave that money to their children. And their children is going to have to pay all the tax on that inheritance within a 10-year period. So, Tony, I've literally seen, say, a 60-year-old with $500,000 in an IRA, when you look at the lifetime tax, required minimum distributions being taxed, reinvestment earnings being taxed, mm-hmm. and leaving the money to your kids and it being taxed, I've literally seen where that $500,000 can create somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 to $450,000 of tax for the government.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And when people look at that, they're just like, oh my gosh. A lady came to my tax, I had a tax workshop a couple of 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she said, can I ask you a question about inherited IRAs? I said, sure. I said, did you inherit it after 2020 or before 2020? She said, I inherited it after. I said, so you're pressed into that 10-year period. She said, yes, I am. I said, can I ask you another question? I said, are you making more money right now than you've ever made in your life? She said, yes, I am. And I said, did an inherited IRA from your mother kick you into a higher tax bracket? She said, yes, it did. So again, we think the government's, you know, here it is, Tony. We're operating on very low federal income tax rates right now.
Yeah.
But the government can go in and make up these little caveat rules that they then can apply to us. And in this case, the caveat rule was this. If we all die at our actuarial age of death, say it's in our mid-80s, well, guess what? Our kids are probably in their highest income earning years when we pass. So now we're going to leave them our IRA monies. And basically, they're going to have to liquidate that within a 10-year period. And if they're in their high earning years, and now we've just layered on top of that a bunch of IRA money that they've got to take distributions on over a short period of time, guess what? Just like the lady I had in my workshop, we've probably now put our kids in a higher tax bracket. And what does that mean? It means the government's going to get a bigger piece of that pie.
Sure.
So yeah. That's the way they work. That's the way they operate, man.
And all this, the reason you're telling us all this, right, Tony, is for our listeners out there to illustrate the point, planning, retirement income exactly planning, right. Investment yeah. planning is key. And so these retirement accounts, it's important to put as much money in there and save as much for retirement as possible. But you have to look at the tax implications. You want to minimize that tax burden over your lifetime, right? So there are ways to do that. And before we go, Tony, let our listeners know how they're going to do that. How can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, first thing I'd probably suggest, Tony, is just it's coming by and setting up a meeting with us.
Sure.
In fact, it would probably be a couple of meetings. The first meeting, we're getting to know each other a little bit. We're probably, collecting some data, getting an idea of what you've got going on, so that we can then take a look at that data, put some reports together, build some models to see if, first of all, see if we can add value. Right. I mean, I look at people all the time. If I can't bring value to you, then there's probably no need in us having a lot of conversations. But
right.
If I can bring value to you and it makes sense, then these are some things that you may want to start having some conversations about. And in all likelihood, Tony, they're not having those conversations with their current advisor because, again, the big brokerage houses and the other you know, complexes and things that are out there, they are told from higher up to their advisors, do not ever, ever, ever talk to your client about tax.
Right.
Well, you know, they basically say, go talk to your CPA. Well, we sort of found out what talking to CPA happened today with my client. So again, you know, these things are things that you've got to look at. So again, yeah, come give us a call. You know, our toll-free number is 888-955-3665. Again, 888-955-3665. You can go to arobertsassociates.com and set up a time to come see us that way. But yeah, by all means, if this is something that you feel like maybe you're not getting the best guidance possible with your current you know, situation you have going on, it may be worthwhile to have a second set of eyes, take a look at this and see if we can't come up with some solutions that might, you know, end up putting more or keeping more of your monies in your pocket versus sending them out in tax.
All right. And to set up that no charge, no obligation consultation, all they have to do is call 888-955-3665. That's 888-955-3665, or go to arobertsassociates.com. That's arobertsassociates.com. Tony, thanks for a great show. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Abundant Retirement with our host, Tony Roberts.
Thank you for joining us for Abundant Retirement. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact Tony Roberts at A. Roberts Associates at 888-955-3665 or visit arobertsassociates.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of Abundant Retirement.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.